This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A program to help feed some of West Virginia's lowest income citizens has been put on hold.
It's not just, you know, an added source of revenue for our farmers and producers, but this has real world implications for the families that utilize the program.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. Governor Jim Justice announced a special legislative session to take place at the end of the month. Brianna Heaney has more.
The second special session of this year will begin September 30th. Governor Jim Justice says he will ask the legislature to tackle a proposed additional 5% income tax cut and address child care in the state.
I hope absolutely in every way, everybody in the legislature hears that voice. Those people, it's their money. And with all in me, we can do it. We can do it, and we can do it right now. We need another tax break. And I'm very, very hopeful and optimistic that we're going to be able to get it through.
Legislators on both sides of the aisle have expressed concerns about the viability of a tax cut on the state's budget. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brianna Heaney in Charleston.
West Virginia recorded its fourth coal mine fatality this year, according to federal mine safety officials. Curtis Tate has more.
Gary Chapman of South Williamson, Kentucky, died Friday of injuries he sustained at the Arch Resources Mountaineer 2 mine in Logan County. According to a preliminary report from the Mine Safety and Health Administration, the 33-year-old miner was struck by a rock that fell from an unsupported mine roof. Chapman had 12 years of experience and was working as a continuous mining machine operator at the time he was killed. MSHA and the State Office of Miners Safety, Health, and Training are investigating Chapman's death. According to MSHA, there have been 8 coal mine fatalities nationwide this year. West Virginia has the highest number of mine workers of any state. Last month, a worker was killed in Taylor County when he was attempting to fix a mine car. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Curtis Tate in Charleston.
A former deputy clerk for Berkeley County has pleaded guilty to 7 felony charges. Jack Walker has the details.
Melissa Joanna Beavers forged checks from the county clerk's office to her roof repair business, according to a press release from state auditor J.B. McCuskey. She stole more than $270,000 between 2019 and 2021. She also altered records to seal portions of cash deposits and forged documents relating to her divorce. On Tuesday, she pleaded guilty to 7 charges, including felony embezzlement and forgery. Circuit Court Judge R. Stephen Redding accepted the plea. Beavers could face up to 70 years in prison and must pay restitution. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jack Walker in Shepherdstown.
Overdose prevention activists and volunteers in Kanawha County plan to give out thousands of free doses of naloxone as part of National Save a Life Day on Saturday, September 26th. The movement began as a 2-county pilot program 4 years ago, and since then has grown to all 55 counties in West Virginia, along with every state in Appalachia and more than 30 states nationwide, including every state east of the Mississippi River. Naloxone is a medication that rapidly reverses an opioid overdose and can quickly restore normal breathing that has slowed or stopped due to opiates. An estimated 463 lives have been lost to overdoses in Kanawha County since 2022. So at the end of this month, 463 new emergency naloxone wall boxes will be distributed across the 15 free naloxone pickup sites in Kanawha County. The most recent figures from the National Institute on Drug Abuse show that West Virginia's fatal overdose death rate had grown to almost 81 per 100,000 people. Combined communities will give out as many as 100,000 naloxone doses and more than 2,000 emergency wall boxes. This Saturday, volunteers will gather at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Charleston from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. to pack swag bags and prepare emergency wall boxes for the giveaway on September 26th. For more information, visit our website at wvpublic.org. A shooting near Martinsburg High School injured three people attending a school football game. Jack Walker has more.
Shots were fired outside the school stadium during a game Friday around 7 p.m. One bullet traveled into the stadium and struck a fan seated in the bleachers, causing injuries that were not life-threatening. Two other fans were struck with shrapnel, causing superficial injuries. After the incident, police and school officials resumed the game. Principal Trent Sherman said in a press release that police have not found any reason to believe the shooting was related to or targeting the sports event. As of Saturday, no suspects had been arrested, but local police are still investigating the incident. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jack Walker in Shepherdstown.
Wheeling University has named a new president. Chris Schultz has more.
Diana M. Vargo has been named the 14th president of the private Catholic university by its board of trustees. Vargo has served as the university's interim chief operations officer since February, after the suspension of the previous president, Jenny Favade. The university has never given a reason for Favade's departure. Known as Wheeling Jesuit University until 2019, the institution has dealt with financial issues that saw the elimination of several majors, including theology, philosophy, history, engineering, and literature in recent years. In a press release, Vargo says the position is an exciting and important opportunity, and she is firmly committed to advancing the university and providing the best learning environment for all students. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Chris Schultz in Morgantown.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:50. Areas of fog this morning, becoming mostly sunny today. Highs in the 70s and 80s. Clear tonight, lows in the 40s and 50s. Sunshine Wednesday and Thursday. Daytime highs in the 70s and 80s. Overnight lows in the 40s and 50s. Support for WVPB is provided by Solar Holler, bringing clean energy to families across West Virginia. More at solarholler.com. A program that doubles or triples nutrition assistance benefits when consumers use them at local farmers markets has been temporarily paused because of a lack of funding. The problem is the program's popularity. Emily Rice has more.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, is intended to alleviate hunger and malnutrition among low-income households. In 2019, the program served more than 282,000 West Virginians in an average month. SNAP is a fully federally funded program, except for some state administrative costs. In West Virginia, the average benefit is $1.29 per person per meal. With those meager benefits, it can be difficult for SNAP households to afford fresh, healthy foods like local produce. Nationally, SNAP incentive programs have emerged in recent years to encourage increased food and vegetable purchases and for those purchases to be made at local farms and markets. The West Virginia Food and Farm Coalition created an incentive program called SNAP Stretch in 2018 to increase the buying power of SNAP recipients, increase the consumption of locally grown produce, and decrease food insecurity. When a customer uses their SNAP benefits at a participating market, they receive a one-to-one match in SNAP Stretch dollars, that can be used to buy fresh fruits and vegetables, canned, dried, or frozen fruits and vegetables, seeds and plants, or fresh herbs. Senior shoppers and customers with children get an increased match rate. Evan Osborne is the executive director of the Capital Market in Charleston, West Virginia. For now, Capital Market is able to continue operating Snap Stretch through a grant from the city of Charleston.
It's not just, you know, an added source of revenue for our farmers and producers, but this has real-world implications for the families that utilize the program.
The West Virginia Food and Farm Coalition reimburses local markets to provide script for SNAP and EBT users. Spencer Moss is the group's executive director.
Most of our sites do thousands of dollars a year in SNAP and SNAP Stretch sales. So if you think of it this way, these were customers that you just did not have at your market before. And because of the program, you've got people coming and spending their SNAP EBT dollars that would otherwise go out the door to a big box grocery, Kroger, Walmart.
Kimberly Stemple is the owner of LEC Farm and Garden Market in Kingwood, West Virginia. She calls the SNAP Stretch program a godsend to her market and community.
Many of them told us the price of fresh fruits and vegetables in the grocery store, the price of meats, cheeses, just everything, that discount was the difference between choosing, you know, whether we could add fresh fruits and vegetables to our diet or if we just had to buy the staples like bread and milk and things like that.
When the COVID-19 pandemic hit, the West Virginia Food and Farm Coalition saw a 442% increase in the use of the SNAP Stretch program, reaching 8,426 families. The popularity of SNAP Stretch in 2020 caused a brief hiatus in the program, freezing SNAP Stretch benefits for 3 months due to an exhausted budget. The program was restarted in 2020 with $200,000 in CARES Act money by Governor Jim Justice. Since then, the program has only grown, with the Food and Farm Coalition fundraising and applying for grants to keep pace.
So now for 6 years, sustained the match from the program from philanthropic dollars. We get those philanthropic dollars in somewhere between $5,000 to like $50,000 chunks, and we've put out over $1 million in the program. So you can imagine how sort of exhausted my team is with trying to fundraise the money to get the match to get the program operating.
On August 12th, 2024, the coalition announced the program is on a temporary pause, affecting 26 markets operating in 21 counties.
I get emails, Facebook messages, text messages every day from participating sites that are asking, hey, are we coming back anytime soon? Has that funding come through yet?
Stemple says the pause comes at the worst time for her customers who use SNAP Stretch benefits to purchase bushels of produce to can for the winter.
Knowing that we were going to have to pause it was so very disheartening. We had told customers that that was a possibility. It was always budget-based, so when and if we met our budget, then we would have to pause it. It did not help that it came at possibly the worst time of the season.
According to a press release, the coalition is seeking additional funding partners in hopes a portion of the state's 2024 budget surplus can help the program.
We're really thankful to the governor's office, who saw a press release last week about the program being paused, and they called to talk more about what they could do to help out.
Justice's office did not provide a response to West Virginia Public Broadcasting when asked about funding the SNAP Stretch program with surplus dollars by our deadline. While funding from the state's surplus would get the program back up and running in the short term, Moss is seeking a more reliable form of funding, a line item in the state's budget.
The deal with that is that the federal grant requires a 1-1 match. So if we're asking for $1 million from the USDA for the program, I have to come up with $1 million in match. The best way for me to do that is to have a state budget line item to make that happen, because that means year on year, I'm going to get $300,000 or $500,000 from the state legislature to make the program operate.
Any money from the budget surplus would have to come during a special session of the legislature. While one is anticipated, it has not been scheduled yet. Adding the program to the state budget moving forward would not happen until the regular legislative session that begins in February. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Emily Rice in Charleston.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Marshall Health. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, WVPublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University and Marshall University School of Journalism and Mass Communications. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Liz McCormick, and Maria Young. Maria Young produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.